today as we come to the table.
The nation of Israel that's lasted for thousands of years, I will bless you and I will make your name great. Again, we've seen God bless Abraham and his name is great, and we're talking about him today. And you shall be a blessing. And he is a blessing because the Messiah came through his line. So note that God says, I'm going to make you great and your descendants, you're going to be a blessing. All right. We now have through Abraham, the children of Israel. And the reason they're a blessing to the world is not just the things they've done throughout the world that would be good for the world, but because the Messiah has come through their line. And so we've now been blessed with the Savior of the world through the promise that God gave to Abraham.
You probably know that our roots as Christians come from the same place as the roots of the nation of Israel, right? It's still good to be reminded of how God's plan from the beginning was to save the whole world through Israel by sending Jesus as our Savior. It's amazing to see the seeds of redemption being planted. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In his message today, Pastor Mark will teach you how essentially woven together is your past and future as a follower of Christ with the nation of Israel. God blessed Abraham and promised to bless the world through him. God hasn't forgotten Israel. And if you look at prophetic scripture, you'll find there is still a plan for them. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 12 as he begins his message, Why Christians Should Stand with Israel.
God is moving in the Middle East, and there's a reason to be fired up and a reason to be excited about what the Lord is doing, not the horrible things. Again, I always have to qualify this because, again, we grieve and our heart breaks at the atrocities that are going on in Israel and around the globe, and our heart is broken. But at the same time, we rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ said when these things begin to happen, his return is closer, and all of this kind of stuff is going to come to an end forever, and I'm ready for that day to take place. That's why I rejoice. Before we get into what we're going to cover today, I'm going to take a couple of weeks and kind of do a little special here, as you probably thought I would, with Israel. We'll get back into Acts, at least I plan to after 2 weeks. I'm going to really try. But a couple of weeks, because there's some things that have come to my attention that I think we need to address. And that is, again, why we as Christians should stand with the nation of Israel. Now, I'm going to give reasons for that, especially when you look at things, whether it be right or wrong and all the go. We're going to talk about the biblical standing, because some of you, again, may know that's what your church teaches or that's what you heard growing up. But it doesn't really matter what Calvary Chapel teaches. Who cares? It doesn't really matter what Pastor Mark teaches. Who cares? What matters is what the Bible teaches. And you need to know the Word of God, and you need to know how to go to the Word of God and know for yourself why you believe what you believe about the nation of Israel and be able to share that, because a lot of questions are being asked. Now, I'm already kind of getting into my teaching, so back to the update. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, as you guys know, there was, again, just really what I would call a real satanic attack unleashed on the nation of Israel. And the reason I say satanic, we haven't seen this kind of ugliness since World War II. And the kind of things that are happening over there in Israel are even worse in some cases than World War II. Again, as you guys know, they came in across the border and they slaughtered men and the women they took and raped mercilessly for hours, then killed them. The children they killed, some babies they killed in their cribs. I mean, I'm not going to go into all the details. It was absolutely horrible. But to give you an idea of the heart and the state of mind of the Israelis right now, the equivalent of what happened in Israel, percentage-wise, the number of people that died percentage-wise to Israel would be like if suddenly terrorists came across our southern border in America and went home to home for 38,000 people, killing the men, raping the women, and burning the children alive, because that's what happened. That's what happened. Now you know the state of mind, you know the state of heart, you know the horror they've been going through, you know the resolve in their heart. Truly, this is in some ways worse than the atrocities that took place in World War II. And what you guys need to realize, this is the same demonic spirit. The Bible says in the last days, it will rise again, the same demonic spirit, and the entire world is going to turn against Israel. Now, right now, the world, at least in part, is standing with Israel. You'd be surprised, though. I'm sure you've seen it in the news. There are already some, after one weekend, turning against Israel and blaming Israel for this. You can't make this up. But here's the reality. The Bible says the entire world is going to turn against Israel. And as Israel goes in and begins to do what needs to be done to wipe out these Hamas terrorists, you're going to see the world get more and more aggressive against Israel and louder against Israel when Israel's simply going in and doing what needs to be done to protect their people and protect their nation from these horrible terrorists that are there in the Gaza Strip. Now, to give you an idea of what's happening worldwide, again, you've seen the demonstrations that are happening worldwide. Even here in America, we're seeing people that are protesting against Israel. This last week, I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. Or, you know, I knew it would happen again at some point, but I guess I thought the rapture would take place and then all this stuff would unfold. But in Moscow and in Berlin, I saw videos, at least videos of Moscow, now reports in Fox News about Berlin, where they're putting Stars of David on Jewish businesses and homes again. Now, the government's not approving of it, but the people are doing it. That shows you the spirit of Antichrist rising. That shows exactly what the Bible says will happen, this hatred. Now, why are the Jews so hated? Because God loves them and God's promised them things all the way into eternity. Satan knows that, and ever since God made the promise, his focus has been on the Jews. Are the Jews perfect? Absolutely not. Is the nation of Israel righteous? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, the nation of Israel right now is unrighteous. They've rejected their Messiah. They're not walking with God. But we're going to see today when we get into these passages of Scripture, that's not the issue. The issue is God made them a promise, and God commands us to stand with them until the end through that promise, knowing that God will keep his promise for Abraham and knowing that God will also save the Jews in the last days, and they'll be a part of our family. So by standing with the nation of Israel, you're standing with future family in Jesus Christ. God will protect them. God will preserve them. And you wonder, why would God allow even this to happen? Guys, note this. I believe that God is now preparing the hearts of the Jewish people to receive their Messiah. Their heart is very hard against their Messiah. And God has said, you know, they're a stiff-necked people. He's called them that throughout history. There's a reason God says that. We love them, but the reality is they have a very hard heart toward Jesus Christ, their Savior. So what God is going to do in the last days, he will allow the heat to be turned upon the nation. He will allow things that break them and bring them to a place of brokenness and repentance. Did God not do the same thing with you? When you were coming to the Lord, God allowed your life begin to fall apart. He allowed the heat to be turned up until finally you broke and said, I need Jesus, and I'm calling out on you. The land of Israel, they're going to do the same thing. As a matter of fact, before Jesus left, he said to the Jews, he said, the next time you see me, it will be when you're saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So their heart's going to be turned toward Jesus. God's going to pour his spirit out on them, and they're going to get saved sometime here in the near future. But now, what happened? We now have a lot more information. And what is happening right now? A quick kind of update as to where we are. How in the world could Hamas come through and do all this and Israel not know it? Don't they have great technology? As a matter of fact, I've seen a lot of people online and even among Christian circles saying Israel knew this and they did it on purpose. I've heard all kinds of crazy things. We now know from information inside Israel and connections to Israel, even in the Israeli army, as well as the American government, there was no tip-off. Nobody knew anything. This was done stealthily. There was only four or five people that knew of the operation among Hamas, and they told the fighters that day what to do and when to go. And that's how they were able to keep it silent. So if you're any accusations about somehow they knew and they did this on purpose, that's nonsense. And again, that's now coming not just from Israeli intelligence, but from American intelligence and others. How were they so successful? Here's how. We now know what they did. Russia worked with Iran. Now, isn't that interesting? Some people think, is this the Russian-Iranian invasion? No, it's not. Why? That's going to happen to the north. When Russia and Iran come in from Ezekiel 38 and 39, which we will look at next week, it's going to be up there where you see the Golan Heights area. It's going to be up there in the northern area where they're going to enter, the Bible says. And there's a natural passageway through the mountains and a very natural battleground working into Armageddon, which will not be the Battle of Armageddon, but working down that direction into Israel. So they'll be coming in through that very natural battlefield. This time they made their incursion from the south. We know that Russia was involved because here's what happened. They have about 150 cameras along the stretch that they blew out where they crossed. They had snipers, 150 snipers that were on each camera. And the moment they gave the command, the snipers took out all the cameras that were across that border, which means they immediately went dark. The Israeli intelligence could see nothing. All their cameras were gone. They had electronic sensors that are all down that fence and their stations that are down through there. But Russia, we now know, gave the Hamas drones and advanced bomb technology from those drones that were able to completely pinpoint those devices, destroy them all up and down the border. So they knocked out all their communications visually and electronically, and then just blew through the wall and killed all the soldiers and took over the posts that were there, overwhelmed them with force and power. And once they did that, nobody knew what was going on, and they had hours to operate until the nation figured it out. Again, it's the worst surprise they've had since 1973, when once again, they came in on Yom Kippur and surprised them on a holiday. This was a Saturday. This was finishing the Feast of Tabernacles. They knew that was the time to attack because everybody's kind of celebrating, having their holiday, relaxing. And if there's ever a time your guard is going to be down, it's then. Then they went house to house, home to home, killing the men, raping and killing the women, killing the children, killing everything, even their pets. I mean, just burning their homes. It was total destruction. Again, stuff that was just, it's beyond even war. It's truly demonic. And that's why the same spirit, again, that was in World War II is now starting to rise that ugly head again. Well, again, Israel went in, secured them, drove them out. And now they're still having, as you know, the battle going on. You're watching on the news down there in Gaza. They're now having some incursions in Lebanon, some fighting up there, some fighting there from Syria. We now know we have the American military in the Mediterranean that's there. And we have threats from Iran saying, if you take this any farther, there's going to be thunder in Israel. Oh, boy, is there. Because if Iran, whenever they do, join with Russia and move against Israel on that northern border, the Bible says as they cross in, the Lord's going to wipe out almost all of their entire army. So there's going to be thunder. You can be sure of that. So we don't know when that's going to happen. Again, we don't know for sure when all these battles take place. I think that somewhere around that invasion from the north, somewhere around there, we don't know, within a year or two, maybe right at the same time, could be the rapture of the church. So we need to be ready. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. It could be a week. So that was my joke for the day, but you guys are so serious. You're so serious because of, I know why you're serious, because I've been looking at all this news for a long time and you're hearing some of it for the first time. So I apologize. I don't mean to be flippant. But again, we don't know. It could be a week, it could be a day, it could be a year, a couple of years till the Lord comes back. But this is, if there's ever a time to be ready, it's now. We need to be ready. And so that's what's going on currently. Now, here's what's going to happen. You're going to see the world turn against Israel as they go and take care of business. Okay, you would think, come on, they went in, they raped their women, they killed their men, they burned children alive. They now know because of the smoke in their lungs. That's the people they're dealing with. When Israel goes in and deals with them, the world's going to say, this is not fair. You're not doing it right. You're doing whatever. Guys, let me tell you something. If somebody came across our border and they did that to 38,000 of our people on the border, the proportion, do you think we'd want to go take care of business and deal with those people that did that to our wives and our children? Now you know how Israel feels. And now you know how it's so disgusting to see people in the streets marching against Israel in this situation. Again, it's not about not loving the Palestinian people. God loves them and we love them. He died for everyone. That's not the point. These are terrorists. And they're the ones that they're going after. And it's going to get ugly. And as it gets ugly, you're going to see it's already started. People in the news are already saying, I can't believe Israel and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's going to start because this is a spiritual battle. Understand that. It's not logic. There's no logic here. It is all spiritual. And so, again, now you're kind of up to date to some degree. I encourage you to go out there to some of the sites. It's a great site. Amir Safari is a great site. And that's kind of an odd name. A-M-I-R, if you don't know that. Safari, I think, is T-S-A... F-A-R-D-I or T-I, whatever. I think it's T-I, but you'll be able to find it if you look it up. There are some fake sites out there that claim to be him with Behold Israel and his own Telegram or whatever. Ignore those. I think the Behold Israel sites, find the real one. You can find him on Telegram. He's a true believer. He's a prophecy guy. He's from Israel, lives in Israel. He's pretty much Calvary Chapel as far as I'm concerned. And so, again, a great source. He's connected to the military and what's really going on, and you get almost up-to-the-minute updates. So I encourage you to look at that, and that way you can keep up with it yourself. But now I want to pray. I don't want to shift gears into what we're looking at today. We have a lot to cover, and I maybe went too long on my update, but why Christians should stand with Israel. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to the nation of Israel. We know, God, that they are not a godly nation. We know they're not honoring you now, but God, you're honoring them. Because you made a promise to Abraham, and you made a promise to the descendants of Abraham through Isaac. And Lord, you've commanded us to stand with them because of that. They are future family. And so, God, I just pray now that you would just, again, protect them, continue to guard them, give them wisdom. We pray, God, for those innocent on both sides and all sides to be rescued, and that you would bring them to come to know you, because we know you love all and you died for all. But at the same time, God, you've specifically told the church we're to stand with the nation of Israel. So I pray as we look at this today, you would open up our eyes, open up our heart, and God, you would show us why in the scripture that we're to do this, not because we believe it because of a movement or even being just a Christian. And so we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the things the Bible commands me to do is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, which is why we're doing this, because I'm hearing a lot of talk about people saying, well, God's through with the children of Israel. God's through with the nation of Israel. Again, why should the church stand with Israel and all this kind of stuff? So we're going to address everything, including when Israel does something wrong. Obviously, we don't stand with them in what they do wrong. I want to be heard clearly on that. But I want you to see scripturally why God commands the church and believers to stand with the nation of Israel, so you know where to find it in scripture and not just what your pastor said or your church believes, and then you know how to share that with others as this comes up, because it's going to come up more and more. I'm hearing it in the church, and to me it's just sad because it shows how untaught the church is in our generation, but you guys are going to be taught, not because I believe it again, but because you see it in the Word of God. Now, again, we're going to see today, first of all, why Christians should stand with Israel. Secondly, we're going to see where we find it in Scripture. Thirdly, we're going to see what it means to stand with Israel. Again, we're going to see it doesn't mean that we agree with everything they do. It doesn't mean they're a godly nation. They're not. It means we stand with them regardless, and we'll see why in just a moment, because God told us to. Again, it's interesting. Hosea 4:6 says this, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Notice, not the world, His people. His people are destroyed due to lack of knowledge. I don't want Calvary Chapel to be destroyed due to lack of knowledge. I want us to understand what God has said and how we're to approach this whole situation. But as I said, sadly, I've seen even parts of the church engaging in these anti-Israel protests, even with such atrocities that have taken place. Again, as we noted, it doesn't mean that we stand with Israel when they do things that are wrong. They're going to make mistakes. They are in rebellion to God right now. They're not a godly nation. They've rejected their Messiah. We could go on a list of reasons why they're wrong, but I want you to see in the scriptures today, the issue is not if Israel does everything right or not. The issue is, what has God called us to do? Because He knows the future and He knows His promises. What has God called us to do as believers in light of what God has promised Abraham and what God knows the future is? Are you following me? That's what we base it on. It's not about emotions. It's not about politics. It's about the Word of God and what God expects from us as believers. And so, again, regardless of what Israel is doing, either way. So let's jump into it. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to be in Genesis most of the time till the very end. We'll jump into Jeremiah for one last thing. And we're going to move rather quickly because there's a lot to cover. And boy, this time just flies. These last two services, it's flown by. This one's going to fly by as well. But first of all, what I want to look at is God's promise to Abraham and his descendants, all right? Look what it says when God calls Abraham in chapter 12, verse 1. We're getting a little bit of history here to see how we got to where we are in the Middle East today and what God's promises are and what we're to do as a church of God. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation," that is the nation of Israel that's lasted for thousands of years. "I will bless you and I will make your name great." Again, we've seen God bless Abraham and his name is great, and we're talking about him today. "And you shall be a blessing," and he is a blessing because the Messiah came through his line. So note that God says, "I'm going to make you great and your descendants, you're going to be a blessing," all right? We now have through Abraham, the children of Israel, and the reason they're a blessing to the world is not just the things they've done throughout the world that would be good for the world, but because the Messiah has come through their line. And so we've now been blessed with the Savior of the world through the promise that God gave to Abraham through the nation of Israel. But notice this, that's the first thing, God's promise to Abraham and his descendants. Notice the second thing God promised, he promised to bless those who would bless his descendants, and he promised to curse those who would curse them. Look at verse 3. "I will bless those who bless you," and that's in reference to the promise of his descendants, he just said in context. "I will bless those who bless you, I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Again, that's the promise of the Messiah. And again, because he's talking in context about his descendants, you could read this, basically, "I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel." That's a pretty big statement. That's what God says he's going to do. Now, some will say, yes, but God's through with the nation of Israel. The church is now Israel. That's nonsense. There's nothing in scripture to show that. And we're going to see that in just a moment. God is not through with the nation of Israel. He's given them unconditional and eternal promises that you will see in the word before we're done today. And so that's what I want you to grasp. And so again, we see that God's promise to them, we see God's promise to us if we bless them, and we see God's promise to us if we curse them. It's not going to go good for us. And so again, the next thing I want you to see is God's unconditional promise to the nation. Because again, there are those who say, as we noted, God's through with them. After the cross, God rejected them because they rejected the Messiah. Nonsense. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 15. We're going to see God's promise to the nation of Israel, and we're going to see that it was an unconditional promise to give them the land and fulfill with them what he said he would do. Look what it says in verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? In other words, Sarah and I can't have children. You know that. So we can't have kids. I've got to leave my inheritance to a servant in my own house, Eliezer. What are you going to do about that? And Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one, that is Eliezer, shall not be your heir. But he who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. Again, at that time, they say at night, you can see about 6,000 stars. No way you could number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. We know it's way more than 6,000, but God was making a point. You can't number them. And notice this, and he believed in the Lord, and the Lord accounted it to him for righteousness. So by his faith, it was accounted as righteous to Abram for his faith in God. And then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. Now, who does the land of Israel belong to? It belongs to God. That's a great question. Good students of the Bible. I love you guys. Because people are quick to say it belongs to Israel. Well, yes and no. It belongs to God. God says it's mine. The entire earth belongs to God. As a matter of fact, our houses, our cars, our property, everything we own belongs to God. We're just stewards over it. And if God wanted to take it today, guys, he could. Right? He makes us stewards, and we're going to be judged one day on the stewardship that we've been with his resources. Now, but what we have to realize is it's God's, and God, being the owner of all the property of the earth, he can decide who he wants to give the land to. That's his right. And God is telling Abraham, I have decided I'm going to give it to you and your descendants, the nation of Israel. So when the argument comes up about who the land belongs to, God gave it to Israel, and God's the owner. So he has the right to say that. Now, when Israel sinned, God brought them out. When Israel sinned, God chastised them because he's a just God. That didn't break God's promise to them. God brought them back in, and God said, in the last days, I'm going to take you out for 2,000 years because you killed your Messiah, but I'm going to bring you back in the last days into the land, which he's done, and I'm going to pour out my spirit on you, and you're going to believe in the very Messiah that you put to death, and then I'm going to come back and be your king and rule with you and the Gentiles who believe in me for 1,000 years on this earth. That's the promise of the Lord. And so again, he's telling him this, and he says, well, Lord, how shall I know, verse 8, that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought all these to him, and he cut them in two down the middle. Now, this sounds gruesome, but we'll explain this. And he placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. They typically would just tear the birds after they were dead because they were too small to cut in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now, there's so much going on here. What is happening? This is a legal binding contract between God and Abram. And this is how they did it back in that day. Now, today, when you guys have a legal binding contract, aren't you glad you don't have to bring a bunch of animals and cut them in half?
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching a short series titled, Why Christians Should Stand with Israel. As you know from current events, Israel is facing yet another assault from enemy countries. This seems to be a pattern in history, unfortunately. Israel has been and continues to be God's chosen nation and people. And it's no surprise that the enemy wants to attack from any direction. We hope that what you've heard today in Pastor Mark's message has sparked interest, concern, and would prompt you to pray for the nation of Israel. Thanks for tuning in today. We'd like to invite you to come visit us in person. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Our services are Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30, and 11:15 a.m., and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Bring the whole family. Every time we gather, it's an opportunity to grow in learning and experiencing God more fully. If you're interested and would like more info, click on the church link at the bottom of the page at thewaymedia.net. You can also use the questions and comments link to get more info. If you'd like to listen to any of these teachings again, just click on the Come to the Table link online or connect with the Way Media app. For any questions or concerns, you can reach us at 865-609-1385. That number again is 865-609-1385. That's all we have for today, but thanks for listening to Come to the Table.
Come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.